All right, let's bow our heads and pray over the preaching moment. We'll do a brief prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, touch and bless the preaching moment. In Jesus' name, amen. With your Bibles in your hands, repeat after me. Let's also do this brief. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. You guys already know what to do. Amen. Thank you for making some noise for the word of God. We're going to touch on one verse from last week, and then we'll move into the title for today. So last week we were talking about Jesus is King, and we spent time in Revelation 19. And so I want to read Revelation 19 and 8. It says, it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. So let me pause and talk about this just for a moment. So on last week, when we were talking about Jesus is King, we talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb and how that the groom paid the price for what the bride would wear, which is white linen. And it says that the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. But the beauty of it is that Jesus' blood on the cross is what gave us our righteousness. It is what gives us our white linen. So if I was to preface this or warn you, this is a far departure from what I preached last week. I preach Jesus is King, but now we're going to talk about what it is like to live under a king that is still dealing with a fallen kingdom. And so I'm going to talk about the white linen. I'm going to have you look at me. And so today my suit is actually white linen. It is a white linen suit, and I haven't worn it in a long time. And there's a reason why I hadn't worn it in a long time. And there's a reason why I'm wearing it today. Number one, because Lady Devin said we ought to wear our white sometime before Labor Day rolls around. And I was like, yeah, we need to do it. But my white has a horrible stain on it. So you got to give me time. And I made it in the nick of time. And here we are. Her and I are in our white right before the holiday. But there's a point that I want to make. So this stain that I had was not a stain of carelessness. I was listening as Sister Rutha was praying. Whenever I'm in the office, I'm not just playing around. I'm listening. And she was praying, and she was saying we should not be careless. And she said some other things, but we should not be reckless or careless in this season. And so my stain did not come from being careless. But actually, my stain was from blue detergent. Some blue detergent got on my pants, and it was right in the crotch area, so I could not wear it. But it's no big deal. I took it immediately to the cleaners for them to get the stain out. They cleaned the whole thing, and the stain was still there. And I was thinking, it's nothing but soap at the end of the day. Seemed like that will wash right out, but not only did the stain not come out, the stain was actually worse. The chemicals they used, the dry cleaning they used, it actually baked the stain in even worse. And so now I got a suit that I can't wear, and I haven't worn it since about 2023, maybe. So about a year, or maybe a little more than that. But it wasn't necessarily my fault that it got stained. But I found out through YouTube, thank God for YouTube, there are some home remedies that you can do to get stains out. So I took a lot of effort, a lot of work, and I finally got the stain to lift. But it's not totally the garment it was before the stain. There's still, if you was to look at me too close, there's still some stuff in there. Now, let me add this. Now, because I have on white, I do understand that at any moment, this white can get stained again. It's the nature of wearing white. You do not have to be reckless or careless, and you can get stained. Let's just give an example that Sister Teresa falls and she busts her lip and I go and reach to get her. Do you know her blood will get on my white? Just me hugging some of you ladies who like to have your face all beat will get makeup on my white suit, my white linen. So you can't live life all scared. You just have to live life. But let me put it to you this way. When you're wearing white, you end up with a little bit of trust issues. Because I don't bump up against me. I love you, toddler, but don't bump up against me because it took me a long time to get this stain out. I'm going somewhere with this analogy, but let's give you the title of the message. Here's the title of the message. Would you put it up there for us on the picture form? It is simply this: trust issues. Trust issues. So you're talking about your white suit, Pastor, but what are you actually talking about? Well, in context with what Jesus did, he gave us this white through his righteousness, but he left us to live in this fallen world. And as we go through life, life is much like this white suit. It stains real easy. You can do everything right and still end up wrong. One of the things I love about grace is you can sometimes do wrong things and get good results. But let me give you the reverse side of walking with God. You can oftentimes do good things and get bad results. Right now, I am dressed the way I'm dressed, not just because of Labor Day and to match my wife, but also I have on the Bishop's cross from my father. I kept this and I decided I wanted to wear it with my collar. As I'm dressing, I'm reminding myself of my bishop. I say I always wear something of his. But let me tell you something that I may not have told you. I've told some, but I may not have said it as openly. But when I flew out to Phoenix there when he was in the hospital, and because of COVID, we were not able to go in and be with him. So we were there and could not see him. I had to fly back out there. But when I flew out there and I actually was able to get in the room and see him, he was unresponsive. But I looked at him and I sensed that there was life in him. Not only did I sense life in him, I felt the Spirit asking me to pray for a miracle because there's life in him. So I flew out there not afraid of what I might see. I actually told one of my friends, one of my good friends, I was like, if he's getting ready to go, I don't know if I want to see him like that. And my friend said, no, man, I encourage you to go ahead and fly out there. Not only did he encourage me, after we hung up the phone, he had cash at me $300 so I could get a quick flight out there. So God made a way for me to get out there. But when I was there, I literally felt life in that room. I felt life in the bed, and I began to pray for a miracle. So I flew out there worried, but I flew back full of confidence, and he still crossed over to the other side. You can do good things and right things and still end up with wrong results. And that's just life. But here's the truth. It leaves us with trust issues. See, the scripture says, and it is my life verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct thy paths. I've had him direct my paths, and doors still closed in my face. I remember one time, actually I was wearing this suit then, I preached a message called The Winning Season. It was a powerful message, and after I left, we went to Texas Roadhouse, and I got a call that let me know that I had lost something that I was working on getting. I preached about winning, and here I am losing. And such is life, and such is the kingdom of God. We are not, even though Jesus is king, it doesn't protect us from everything. Even though we want it to, it doesn't always work the way we want it to work. It's not like Las Vegas where you pull the thing down and everything lines up. Sometimes it just doesn't work the way you want it to work, and you got to get up and you got to move on. But if we're honest, it leaves us with trust issues. And so even though God is calling us to trust him, sometimes if we can be honest, it's not always easy. It would be easier if you answered my last five things that I prayed than the sixth thing. It would be easy to trust you. But when you haven't answered something in a while, let me, I'm taking my time. I don't want to go too long, but let me take my time. Not only are we dealing with just like I bring up Bishop a lot, but not just that. I've lost a lot of members in the last several years, but not just members, good members. Members that came to church every single Sunday. I have some members that I don't necessarily see, but I have members that come to church every single Sunday. And those were the ones that were crossing out and going home. Like the brother Lionels, who you could not beat him here to church, would ride his bike to church, who wanted to be a deacon, who was excited about it. He leaves. And so many others, a sister Diane who if she had to come in a wheelchair would come and would sit back and praise the Lord and say, ain't nobody mad but the devil. Those people leave. The sister Juanita's leave. The brother Allen who sit there every Sunday would beat me to church. So it's not just that we lost people, but it was people that were here all the time. God, I got some trust issues. My little God nephew back there working the sound with my sons, no longer here. It just doesn't always make sense, and it leaves us with trust issues. Yes, we got to trust God. We got to live by faith, but sometimes we can take the white linen off for a moment and say we're human. And in our humanity, sometimes this white gets dirty. Because sometimes you can get angry with God. You can be frustrated with God. And if you have enough wisdom not to be angry with God and not to be frustrated with God, you're frustrated with family, or you're frustrated with yourself, or it's part of the life that we live. Now I have the mic, but we all have gone through something. Maybe not to the level of some of us, but we've all gone through something. Here's the thing. Whatever your issue is your issue. I didn't mean to go this route, but let me just throw this out there. Sister Reva, doing her best as she can to get her son out of high school and into college, is able to do so. But ask her how hard it's been. Ask her how she would leave church happy and see somebody that said a whole bunch of stuff on Facebook about her that crushes her. Ask her what it's like to try to live this life. Yes, we are Deliverance Temple, and yes, Jesus is King, but this is not necessarily an easy road. Amen. Now, I can talk about many of you, but I can't because I need to move on. So let's give us a definition of trust. Understand where we're going. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So I'm saying when we put our trust in God, we have to have a firm belief, but not always is our belief so firm. Because sometimes life gets shaky. Even the disciples, and what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to help you so that you understand you're still okay. Even the disciples who had Jesus on the boat with them, when the storm got to raging, they said, "Don't you care, Jesus, that we're about to go under? Yes, I'm walking with you, Jesus. Yes, I trust you, Jesus. But if you don't move as soon as the storm moves, sometimes I just can't make it." And it doesn't make you bad. It makes you human. Just the other day when the storm was rolling through, little Bentley, who acts like he's the guard dog, he acts like he's tough about everything. But baby, when that thunder gets to rolling, Bentley gets scared. 4 o'clock in the morning, he was barking, and I was like, "I just can't get up. You're gonna have to trust in the Lord, Bentley." But Bentley has some trust issues because this is scaring me. Not only that, but in July, everybody lets off firework after firework, and these dogs, it drives them crazy. So they hear these noises. But guess what? We are human, and Bentley's an animal. We don't always reach our highest level, even though we're dressed in white from him. And here's the beauty. This is the reason why God gives us his white, because we can't do it on our own. Yeah. All right, let's just put some names up here, just some men. We got wonderful women here, but let me just put up some men. Job had some trust issues. Yeah. Abraham had some trust issues. Yeah. Moses had some trust issues. David and Jeremiah all had trust issues. These are heroes in the Bible, but they're human. Yeah. And so what we're going to do, we're going to take some time and just walk through just two. So go ahead and throw it up there for me. We're going to walk through these two, examining Jeremiah and David's trust issues. So let's put up Jeremiah, a prophet of God. The scripture says of Jeremiah that he was ordained to the nations. He said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you." So before he ever came out of the embryonic stages and through the birthing canal, God says, "My hand is on you." But guess what? Jeremiah's life was not easy. It was actually very rough. And so I want to talk about Jeremiah's talk because we're going to put this up here because this is what some of us need sometimes. We need real talk. Now, when I'm talking about when you're praying to God, sometimes it's okay to have some real talk. Not that I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. I'm running through troops and I'm leaping over walls. Maybe that's good for church, but sometimes you got to have some real talk with God. God, I'm about to lose my mind. God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I could do this. God, I don't know if this is ever going to lift. God, I don't know if I can pastor this church. I don't know if I can stay in this marriage. I don't know if I can graduate. I don't know if I can ever get a mortgage. I don't know if I can ever pay this debt off. It's okay to have a real talk with a real God. Because it means you are in a real relationship. And in relationship, it's not always peachy king in relationship. Life is not always a bowl of cherries in this world. You know, just a couple Sundays ago, many of the churches and community people got together to talk about the gun violence in the city. And they said emotions got high and they were thinking about what needs to be done. But guess what? 2 weeks later, shooting again. I don't know how many times I've been to meetings, how many times I've been to the mayor's office, how many times I've tried stuff and still see things go the wrong direction. What do? You talk to God. I couldn't make it if I didn't talk to God. I need to talk to God. And when I'm talking to God, I'm not always talking to God saying, "God, you're great and God, you're awesome." Sometimes I'm saying, "God, why? God, I need your help. God, I don't know what I'm doing. God, what's wrong? Is it me? What have I done?" Here's the thing. There's so much that I've done that God could be mad at, but he gives me grace. I'm like, if you gave me grace, maybe it ain't like that. Here's the thing. When you start struggling, you'll think of everything. You'll go 27 years back. "Oh, I remember when I took a Starburst. Is that what's going on, God? Is that why I'm struggling?" Listen, the devil will have you thinking all kinds of things. And even though you're talking, sometimes God is not talking back. Which is difficult and can be rough. But here's the thing. Many times God wants you just to let it out. Get it out. Because if anybody can handle it, he can handle it. You ever told God, this woman you gave me? You ever told God, this man you gave me? You ever told God, these kids you gave me? You ever told God, them folk that I go to church with? God, I need your help. It's okay, because here's the thing. If you bottle it up, it does you no good. You need to let some of that stuff go. Some of it's like a fart. It's going to stink, but you got to let it go. If you hold it in, all it's going to do is mess up your intestines. So some of this stuff, you just got to let it go. Now, if you have any couth about yourself, when you let stuff go, you go off by yourself. There are sometimes you got to get off with God by yourself and let some stuff go. Some real talk. Jeremiah was in that situation. Let's look at, and we see it in his words too. Let's look at Jeremiah 8, 20 through 22.
The crops are in, the summer's over, but for us, nothing's changed. We're still waiting to be rescued.
He said, we done rolled through another year, come through another summer, and we still, the King James says, not saved. We're still not delivered. We're still not rescued. I've been going to Deliverance Temple all my life, and I'm still not delivered. I'll read.
For my dear broken people, I'm heartbroken. I weep, seized by grief.
Seized by grief. I'm weeping. I'm heartbroken. My heart isn't fixed quite yet. Just because I'm smiling doesn't mean my heart's fixed quite yet. Read.
Are there no healing ointments in Gilead? Isn't there a doctor in the house? So why can't something be done to heal and save my dear, dear people?
The King James says, is there no balm in Gilead? I thought there was a healer. I thought they told me he was a mind regulating God. Yes, he is. Just doesn't always come in the way that you think. And sometimes you are in a holding pattern and you need to talk it out. Let's look at how Jeremiah continues. We've read this verse over and over, but we'll give some extra context to it. Let's go to this next verse from Jeremiah.
But if I say, forget it, no more God messages for me, the words are fire in my belly, a burning in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it any longer.
Jeremiah was to the point, I just want to quit, but I can't even quit. I want to walk away, but I can't walk away. Here's the problem with some of y'all saints. You know too much about God to walk away. But truthfully, you want to walk away. But you don't have nothing to walk to. I done tried the drugs. I done tried the sex. I done tried this. I done tried that. None of it really works. So I'm stuck with you, God, but God, you're not moving the way I want you to move. And I'm just going to quit. I ain't even going to praise God. I'm not even going to talk, but it's like fire. Shut up in my bone. I don't know why I like the song, The Goodness of God. I love the song, but didn't feel like God has always been good. My mother fell in love with the song in the time that my dad left. That's the time she was should be crying. But it's something about our spirits that won't let go of our God. As hard as it may seem, like fire shut up in my bones. Let's read some more. Look what it says.
Then I hear whispering behind my back. There goes old danger everywhere. Mm-hmm. Shut him up. Report him. Old friends watch, hoping I'll fall flat on my face. One misstep and we'll have him. We'll get rid of him for good.
Problem that Jeremiah had is he was facing all this hell because he was telling the truth. He was telling the folk what God said, and the folk were after him. And so this is the message version. They're saying, they're whispering, saying, here he comes with his words again. But they were the words of God. He would have let them go if he could, but he couldn't let them go. So you got folk talking about you. Here's the thing about humans. You could be in a rough time and humans will say the worst things. Since we have been in a season of grief, let me say this. Some people will say the dumbest stuff while you're grieving. And you just got to grin and bear it. Sometimes you just want to snatch their lips off. Say, shut up. Get out of my face. But they mean well. They just don't know what to say. There are some things words cannot handle. Human words just can't handle. All right, move on. We're going to read.
But God, a most fierce warrior, is at my side. Those who are after me will be sent sprawling. Slapstick buffoons falling all over themselves. A spectacle of humiliation no one will ever forget.
But Jeremiah starts saying, but there's still somebody by my side, on my side, in my corner. I know he's going to come through. Next verse, verse 12.
O God of the angel armies, no one fools you. You see through everyone, everything. I want to see you pay them back for what they've done. I rest my case with you.
Well, I pray for my enemies. Jeremiah said, no, I ain't there right now. I want you to get the ones that's getting on me. I rest my case. I don't want to deal with this anymore. It's too hard for me. It's like living with a white suit. I'm getting dirty and I'm not even trying to. All right. Verse 12.
Sing to God. All praise to God. He saves the weak from the grip of the wicked.
I love this. Jeremiah turns and says, I'm going to praise you, God. I'm going to praise you, God. And so I was going to close this and move on. But I just happened to look at the next verse and it threw me for a loop. Look at what the next verse says. He just said, I'm praising you, God. He made up his mind. I'm going to praise you, God. Next verse.
Curse the day I was born, the day my mother bore me. A curse on it, I say.
Dang, Jeremiah. You were just talking about you about to praise the Lord. And the next day you was like, man, forget all this. I want you to understand that is life. You could hear a Jesus King message on Sunday and be depressed by Tuesday. But you got to learn how to wrestle this thing. Jacob had to wrestle. Sometimes you got to wrestle. Because here's the thing. Satan is trying to wrestle what you have away from you. You got to wrestle back. But it ain't easy. All right, we're gonna move on to verse 18. Drop down to verse 18. Actually, we're going to drop to Jeremiah 20:18 and go there.
Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?
Now, he's not the only one who says stuff like this. Job says stuff like this. David said stuff like this. It's all throughout the scriptures where they were like, God, I don't even know why you have me here. And if you've ever felt that, you are not alone. And the Bible says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. So God was on Jeremiah's side. It just didn't feel like it. But Jeremiah was human. And what did Jeremiah have? He had trust issues with God. All right, so this is 20:18. Now we're going to jump over to Lamentations 3:18. So Jeremiah is the writer of Lamentations. Lamentations just means weeping. It means crying. Let's look at 3:18.
So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord.
He's ready to give up. He's ready to give up. Many of y'all have been ready to give up. But somehow you just won't. You just can't. And here's, look, what we go into the next verse, verse 19.
I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall.
Now this is a key right here, because the scripture's getting ready to take a turn, but it says, I'm remembering. Whenever you remember something, you make it part of your members again. So sometimes you really need God to help your memory. Because as I remember how hard it was, sometimes it makes it harder to come out because I am still remembering. Constantly. It takes a while to come out of that, but look at what the next verse says that Jeremiah says.
I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me.
As I continue to remember them, it causes my soul to be downcast. In other words, it sinks me into depression. Stop telling saved folk they can't be depressed. That's not biblical. Jeremiah was saying, as I thought about what I went through, it was depressing. All right, but look what verse 21 says.
Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope.
So there is remember, and then there is recall. You have to learn how to recall things to your mind. Some of you still can recall the number that you grew up with. I still remember. I can recall 317-288-2671. That was the number that I grew up with. I haven't used that number in years, but it's somewhere in the recesses of my soul, and I can recall it when I need to. And so that's why it's very important when times are good or when times are even that you begin to get the word of God in you. That's how we ended the last sermon last week with Jesus King. I was standing on the Bible. See, standing on the Bible doesn't always mean you're standing on top of the world. It means you have a root inside of you that even when everything is caving in, you got something you can recall. What do I sometimes recall? I recall greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I recall no weapon formed against me is able to prosper. I recall he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Here's the thing. I say it all the time. I cannot go to Prime Trust and get $1 million out tomorrow because I don't have $1 million in there. I can only withdraw what I previously deposited. Amen. And the reason why some people are still making it is because previously in the season before they deposited something in them. That's why when life got rough, they were able to recall. Reason why I could recall my phone number, because we lived in a day where you didn't have the phones like this. You had to know your number. So I'm able to recall it. You got to know some of this word because it's going to come a day in your life. You're going to have to recall. What did Jeremiah say? He said, yet this I call to my mind and therefore I have hope. In other words, what I recalled brought me hope. What did he recall? Verse 22.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
Verse 23.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
He's going through all he's going through and writes some of the greatest words that the Bible has ever seen. He said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies I'm not consumed. In other words, I'm going through it. But the reason why I'm still here is the mercy of God. And his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we used to sing a song and say, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. What it means is wherever I am right now is not how I'm going to end up. Because every day I wake up, there's brand new mercy. I'm hurting today, but let me wake up tomorrow. I'm hurting tomorrow, but let me wake up another day. Here's the thing. If you can stop me from waking up, you can stop God from turning things around in my life. But every day I wake up is another possibility that God gonna bring me out.
Hallelujah.
So I'm gonna be all right. I'm gonna be all right. I may get some stains in this thing, but I'm gonna be all right. I may have to put some elbow grease. When I was getting the stain out, I had to rub and put some elbow grease, but it's gonna be all right. I'm gonna work this thing out. Here's the thing, because if the devil could have took me out, he would have took me out. But it's obvious that he couldn't take me out and I'm still here. So I'm gonna be all right. When I look at even my job, I've seen the many times that the devil has tried to kill me on my job. the times he's tried to kill me getting to my job. And sometimes I'm wondering, God, it don't look like you're there for me. But listen, he's been there all the time. It, you just don't always know. The old folks used to say through danger seen and unseen. Yes, some stuff slipped through. But here's the thing. It's not fair to God. Because we get mad at him for the stuff that goes wrong. But we don't know all the stuff that goes right. We don't know all the times we went out to eat and there was poison in the food and God moved out the poison when you bowed your head and said grace over your food. But because we don't know it, we don't praise him for it. We only get mad when someone died of food poisoning. Oh, that don't seem right. But we don't know all the times he spared lives and done things. And guess what? It don't bother him. Because as we heard, he gives us the white linen anyhow. He knows we don't understand. And sometimes when we complain and fuss with God, he don't mind. He'll bring us in and draw us in. He'll work on us because he knows his children. Yes. Let's go to David. Not just Jeremiah. Let's go to David. Now, Jeremiah, we heard it in his words. Now, in David, let's look at it in the actions. Let's look at 1 Samuel 21. I'm going to read this. So here's the thing. David is anointed king as a little shepherd boy. Finally gets to the kingdom. He kills Goliath. He's sitting in the king's palace with the king. And all of a sudden, the king starts throwing spears at him. Now, God done made a way, got him on the backside of being a shepherd and brought him through a mighty victory, and then got him right there at the king's table. He's even married to the king's daughter. It looks like everything's going to go smooth for him, but here's the problem. He started doing too good. And when he started doing too good, that spirit of jealousy and envy gets rising up. Here's the thing. Once you start doing too good, that old ugly slew-footed devil, he starts throwing everything in the kitchen sink at you. And you wonder, God, did you just bring me here for me to have to duck spears? But eventually, David had to run for his life. Yes. For the very place that he brought victory to. Let's look at 1 Samuel 21 and 10. It says this, then David arose and fled that day from Saul, running for his life. Anointed, running for his life. Gifted, running for his life. Killed Goliath, but running for his life. Don't seem right. Gave David some trust issues. Yes, it did. Then David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. Here's the crazy thing. Achish was the enemy. He had to run from where he was supposed to be, straight to the enemy. Let's look at verse 11. But the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Listen, they called him king. Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Verse 12, David took these words to heart and greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. He gonna find out who I am. And David got scared. He's already running for his life. And he's trying to run to safety. And he runs to the enemy. And now the enemy is like, wait a second, we know who you are. See, when Jesus showed up, the demons knew who he was. That's why sometimes you can go on vacation and stuff start happening to you because the devils know who you are. When you show up, you're just trying to catch a break. But them devils don't take a break. They on your head. They at your neck. And it don't always feel good. And David was scared. He feared the king. Verse 13. Here's what's crazy to me. He says, verse 13, it says, so he disguised his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate and let his saliva run down into his beard. David pulled an Oscar performing performance. David had to act crazy just to stay alive. But baby, some of y'all who've had to dumb yourself down, just so your boss wouldn't mess you over, had to lower yourself, had to act crazy, just so your abusive husband wouldn't hit you in the mouth. All the things you had to go through just to survive. It's like wearing this white. It's hard to survive sometimes.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes the best of us gotta go through great lengths just to make it out. David had to pretend, act like he's crazy. Look at the next verse, verse 14. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man behaving as a madman. Why do you bring him to me?" He did it so well, he convinced everybody he was mad. Let me tell you something. You're not as crazy as folk think you are. You've had to play crazy just to make it. I understand it. It ain't been easy for you. I get it. Verse 15. This is what the king says. Do I lack madmen? In other words, I got enough crazy folk on my team already. That you have brought this one to act the madman in my presence. Shall this one come into my house? He said, man, I can't deal with this dude. And so they end up saying, just send him over somewhere. He ended up in a place called Ziklag. And we know the stories about Ziklag. But this is what I want to bring up. So once again, we have Jeremiah who talked it out. And we see what was written. And then we see David who just had to run for his life. And then he had to pretend. Now here's the thing. Once again, he was anointed. We ain't talking about a sinner. We're not talking about a fool. We're not talking about somebody acting crazy. We're talking about someone in the will of God. Somebody said the safest place is in the will of God. But sometimes the roughest place is also in the will of God. So David was there. But this is so beautiful. So you won't see it as I put it up on the screen. But in most of your Bibles, when you come to Psalms 34, it says that David wrote this when he had to play crazy for King Abimelech. Well, Abimelech is a title for this king here, Achish, that we heard. But let's hear what David wrote right after he had to play crazy. What did he write? Psalms 34. Mother Mitchell, read it when they put it up.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
See, when you read that and when they preached that, you thought he was sitting on the throne. You thought he was in the kingdom. You thought he had a crown on his head. He had money in his hands. No, he had just went crazy just to stay alive. But then he turned around and said, I will bless the Lord. At all times,
yes.
Meaning even in this rough time, I'm still going to bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Then he said, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't like what I'm in. I got trust issues. This is hard. This is rough. But you can't stop my praise. You can't stop my blessing. You can't stop my mouth from shouting the goodness of God. It don't even make sense to me. But there's something down on the inside of me that won't let me turn this thing loose.
Hallelujah.
Here's the beautiful thing about what we're in. They say Christianity is a false, fake religion. But even scholars ask this one question. If it was so fake, why did those early disciples die? If they could have just turned around and said, oh yeah, we was lying. We stole the body out. You caught us. But they was willing to die for what they believed. It was not human because Peter denied the Lord. It wasn't human, but when you get the Spirit of God, there's something about you that makes you able to take up your cross daily and follow the Lord, even when it's not the way you want it, even when it's hard and it's rough. You find yourself saying, God, I'm going all the way with you.
Yes.
Guess what? There are some people that say, I'm going all the way with God, but there's other people who are really walking it out. And Deliverance Temple, we are walking it out. And even though it's been rough and difficult, we're like David. We're saying, I will bless the Lord. That's why it's okay for us to say, if they don't love, they not like us. Because everybody ain't been through what we've been through. And still come back to church and still praise the Lord. And still serve and still give. We know what we're talking about. We still believe. trust issues and all, we still believe. Somebody shout, I still believe.
I still believe.
Look at what he says in the next verse. Read that.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
My soul. So here's the beautiful thing. See, when life is crazy, I can't boast in myself. I can't boast in Kamala or Donald. I can't boast in this bishop or that bishop. Listen, when I'm on the bottom of the barrel and can't nobody get me out but God, my boast is in the Lord. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. But here's the thing. Only the humble gonna hear it.
Yes.
Proud folk don't hear it. And that's why sometimes we got to go through stuff, because what we go through humbles us.
Yes.
It brings us so low that we know, God, if I ever see the light of day, if I ever see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's going to have to be you that did it. Verse 3, then it goes on to say this.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Here's the thing about folk who have trust issues, but are still pressing to believe God. I love being around my people. And I say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Yeah. What happened? Are you out of the situation? No, I ain't out of the situation yet. But I'm glad I don't have to do it by myself. I got somebody who will stand with me and magnify the Lord with me. And if I need them to, they'll magnify the Lord for me.
Yeah.
That's why I love Deliverance Temple, because when I'm hurting, somebody gonna be up. Yeah. When I'm down, somebody gonna be up. When I'm weak, somebody gonna be strong. We gonna go through this together. We gonna lock arms together. Here's the thing. When you were young, you would say, Red Rover, Red Rover, send so-and-so right over. And you would lock arms. And if they could break through, they would take with them. And they would take them to the other side. But if you had locked arms and you were great, everything that come with you had to start working for you.
Yeah.
Oh, the depression that done come after me, it's going to have to work for me. The debt that I'm in now gonna have to work for me. The test that I'm in now gonna have to be my testimony. The mess I'm in now gonna be my message. Red Rover, Red Rover, devil, send your stuff right over, because everything you sin is not gonna work. Because here's the thing, if it could have worked, it would have worked by now. I still should have that blue spot on my clothes, but somehow I got it out. You still should be messed up, but somehow God is working it out. I didn't used to like this song either, but now I understand the beauty of it. Jesus will work it out if you let him. Telephone disconnect, waiting on your next paycheck, but work it out. Oh, the older I get, I just need God to work it out, rub it out. Scrub it out. Whatever you got to do. I may have some trust issues, but I'm throwing my whole heart over to you, God.
Hallelujah.
Work it out. And I'm glad I got some folk that'll magnify the Lord with me. Look at number 4.
I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
Oh, here's something we got to understand, that in the pressure of life, there's two major decisions. Seek the Lord or stop seeking the Lord. Trusting him can sometimes be hard, but that doesn't mean just because you're having trust issues that you don't still need to seek him. See, wise men still seek the Lord. When he was in the manger, it was wise men that came. The wise, even when you don't understand his plan, you still seek after him. You, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. Those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. I sought the Lord and he heard. And he answered. He's going to answer. He's going to hear. But you got to seek the Lord even when it hurts.
Yeah.
All right. Put this up as we're moving. So the scripture says this. Just be anxious for nothing. I had the verses, but I'm not going to go to the verses. I decided to take them out. I'll just share it with you. It says, be anxious for nothing or worry about nothing. But with everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and mind through
Christ Jesus. I got peace that don't make sense. I should be crazier than what I am. But somehow the peace of God is resting on me. I should have thrown in the towel, but I got the peace of God. I got preaching peace. I got preaching power. I got anointed peace. I still am crazy enough to believe that God gonna work it out. Why are you smiling, Andre? I really don't know. But I got peace. I got a feeling everything gonna be all right. So let's move on though. Somebody says, real talk, but I just can't. You saying I can be real, Pastor? Telling me I don't worry about. I'm sorry, Pastor. I can't stop worrying. I can't stop the anxiety. I can't stop overthinking. I just can't. But they already put it up, and then they stole my thunder. I already put it up, but God can. If you can't, know God can. If you don't remember anything from this message, I want you to remember God can. You can't, but God can. I can't, but God can. Kamala can't, but God can. Donald can't, but God can. GM and Ball Memorial can't. But God can't. Whatever you can throw in there, it can't be done, but God. The scripture says all things are possible with God. I always say my favorite six letters are B-U-T-G-O-D, but God. But let me add these six letters, G-O-D-C-A-N, God can. Let me put them together, but God can. I am going under, but God can bring me up. I am fading away, but God can bring me back. I am losing my mind, but God can regulate my mind. I am ready to quit, but God can make me step another step. Even with my trust issues, I've learned God can do all things. And guess what? What Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. So since God can, I can. Since God can, we can. And since God could, they could. Them other people we were talking about, they came on out. God worked it out. All right, let me add this. Here's another definition for trust. This is powerful. The state of being responsible for someone or something. The reason why we have trust issues is because we are required to put our trust in a God that we can't see, and sometimes the troubles of life we can see. But another definition for trust is having someone in your trust. In other words, when Brother Donald gives me this towel to wipe my head, he has entrusted it to me. So now I have it. And it's now the responsibility is mine. It's no longer his. Yes. He put it here. He let it go. That's why the Bible says, cast your cares. Because now you can't always trust God, but God has his trusting hands on you. Yes. You are in his care. You are in his trust. You are under his trust. So you are his responsibility. So the next time the devil asks you, when you gonna be over it? I don't know. Ask God. Because I'm in God's care. I'm in God's trust. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to not have trust issues. I have trust issues, but I'm under God's trust. One scripture says, my times are in your hand. All right. So the favorite part of y'all of the message for many of y'all, put it on up here. The conclusion. Let me run through these things real quick. Four takeaways to remember. Here's number one. Life will get rough, but you still must trust. Life will get rough, but you still must trust. Number two, praise him anyway, like he's already made a way. Praise him anyway, like he's already made a way. Number three, try, try and try again until you win. Try, try, and try again until you win. Number four, instead of giving up, keep looking up. Instead of giving up, keep looking up. We're going to go to our confession. You guys are going to stay in your seats this time. And instead of repeating after me, I'm going to confess this over you as going from the last point. Instead of giving up, keep looking up. I'm going to read this entire chapter, confessing it over you. And at the end, I'm going to have you shout, I receive. All right. So this is Psalms 121. Go ahead and put it up. We're not going to teach it. We're just going to read right through it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. So now I'm going to confess it over us. Deliverance temple will lift up their eyes unto the hills from whence cometh their help. Our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer deliverance temple's foot to be moved. He that keepeth deliverance temple will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth deliverance temple shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is deliverance temple's keeper. The Lord is the shade upon our right hand. The sun shall not smite us by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve deliverance temple from all evil. He shall preserve our souls. The Lord shall preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. If you believe it, shout, I receive.
I receive.
If you believe it, shout, we receive.
We receive.
Let's stand and let's take communion together.
Hallelujah.
Tell somebody he's got our back. Hey, he got our back. He's on our side. As we open up our communion, Luke 22, 19 through 20, and he took bread and gave thanks and break it, gave unto them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's eat the bread. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Let's take the blood. Now let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we receive this communion. God, we will trust in you. We don't know how sometimes, but we know that you are worthy. You are trustworthy and you are praiseworthy. And you still are our King and the kingdom belongs to us. So God, you give us strength. You stand up for us. You be there for us. I cancel every assignment of the enemy over our lives. I command Satan himself to cease and desist in his maneuvers against Deliverance Temple. God, usher in your flow. The scripture says when the spirit of the enemy comes in, like a flood, you will lift up a standard against it. And we thank you for doing so. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, marvelous week. Thank you.
Thank you.